around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca. Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1980.
Good morning. You're here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. I'm trying to understand why I cannot hear this in my headphones, but we're just going to get through it. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here. Live from UBC's campus. Probably would make sense if these headphones were plugged in. But today we have a special show. We have a nice show for you. We have lots of things to talk about. And it's one day for my mother's birthday. Well, 2 days. But, you know, she gets to celebrate 4 whole weeks, so we like to start on the 2nd, which is a Friday, so she can kick it and then go all the way to next Friday. So if you're listening, happy birthday, Mom. And if you would like to call in and tell my mom happy birthday, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-CITR. And you know we like to start off here with the weather so we can get you guys warmed up for the weekend. I don't know if you've looked outside lately, guys, but it is pretty rainy, and it's not going to stop. Actually, there was a weather warning issued yesterday for Metro Vancouver. It's a rainfall warning to say that it's going to rain at least 80 millimeters this weekend, which, I mean, I grew up on the Imperial system, so I'm going to take a guess that that is close to 1 centimeter, which sounds like a lot of rain, particularly if you live on the west side and you have seen the rain coupled with the leaves stuck in the storm drains, that we have like little ponds seemingly everywhere. But looking on the forecast, today it is going to rain all day with a high of 13 and a low of 11. But this weekend, actually, I would say is rather sunny for a Vancouver fall, which means that it is partly cloudy every day with low chances of rain, except for on Saturday, which is 100% chance of rain. But we all know how these things can change every 30 minutes. And at any point, at anywhere, if you are in the Lower Mainland, you should just expect that it's going to rain, and just enjoy it. Like, one of the things that we do is we like to look at the rain as, you know, like an inconvenience when it doesn't have to be. Yesterday was Halloween, and so I hope none of you guys are listening from the hospital, as you may have blown your hand off in what is a uniquely Canadian tradition. Because where I'm from, we don't do that on Halloween. Only thing you do on Halloween is either collecting candy or you're bag snatching candy. So I don't know how it is in Canada, but in the United States, listen, we take what we want. That's just the American way. And so as you you think that, yeah, Halloween is no freaking exception. So when you are either going through Halloween, you know, like someone reasonable where you can feel nice in your costume and you're going house to house and you're ringing doorbells and maybe you are knocking on doors, or maybe you go into that house where they just have the bowl out and they just say, please take one. Well, in the States, please take one means please take some, and you have to watch out for bag snatchers because there's people who would just wait in the bushes and take your bag and run. I remember I was in fifth grade, walking with my friend, you know, saying we just minding our own business. I feel like I was dressed for like a Power Ranger for the fourth time in a row, because Power Rangers is really all I wanted to be when I grew up. And as we make the left to turn on the Silver Spring Avenue, these girls jump out the bushes, grab our bags, and run. Now, we had two decisions. Do we chase them, potentially get beat up by some girls, or do we split the candy that we still had and go home? But what we did is we ran and we called some parents and we told on them, and then we never got our bags back. But we did get chastised for snitching. So, life lessons there. You have to do your own work. However, lit some fireworks last night down on Kiss Beach. So if you saw them, you're welcome. But I say we lit some fireworks. It wasn't me, because I am scared of fireworks, because I feel like you just hear too many stories about people getting their hands blown off, and I don't really know how likely that is, but I don't ever want it to happen to me. But let's just jump right in to this week. So if you are here in Vancouver and you are trying, wondering like, is it just weather I need to worry about? No, you're right. It's not just the weather you need to worry about. Because there was an earthquake off the coast of Vancouver Island, 4.4 magnitude, and 4.9 magnitude west of Vancouver Island. And while it is not the earthquake that we are all scared of, it still is a little alarming for me. So it was about 10 days ago. However, they really just located it. It was centered around 250 kilometers west of Tofino and occurred just before 9:30 Wednesday night. So the earthquake wasn't really strong enough to cause any structural damage or cause any damage for any of the residents on Vancouver Island or here. However, there were three quakes which have been recorded in the same area in the past few in the past few weeks. And so that lends me to, you know, redo my earthquake plan. And while I'm not going to tell you guys on the radio, because that would be silly, I don't want any one of you to try to interrupt my plans. But let's just say I'm prepared for the Juan de Fuca plate shift and the tidal wave that comes afterwards. And when I say I'm prepared, I mean I'm pretty prepared. And if part of your preparation is maybe doing the grouse grind and climbing up to the top and waiting for it to finish and then taking the gondola down, you are out of luck, because the grouse grind sky mobile gondola thingamajiggy is out of commission until November 14th. So they are taking a break from all of the crazy people who get up at 6 a.m. and go do the grouse grind before they go to work. If you're one of those crazy people who listen to the show, why are you doing it? You know, you're not crazy. I'm just using hyperbole. But I doubt those people who get up and do the grouse grind in the morning are, you know, in their kitchen listening to public radio, in the bathroom getting their kids ready for school, trying to introduce their kids not only to good knowledge and good things to know for the weekend, but a new vernacular for them, you know, so that they can learn and understand how everybody speaks. That's also a benefit of here. You're welcome. And you should have an earthquake plan too, especially if you're at home, you know, just thinking, sitting on your couch, probably. I don't think really people eat cereal here, but, you know, an acai bowl or maybe some bananas with your vegan coffee. You should have an earthquake plan. And I hope that we don't cross paths in the earthquake, because I feel like it's every person for themselves. And me and my team are prepared for the long haul. So one of those things that we like to think about, particularly when you are donating to charities, is you like to imagine that your money is going to a place that is actually going to help people. And a Vancouver area watchdog, you know, so I like how they say watchdog, but it's really just an investigative team. I don't actually think that there's a dog on the case reading through paperwork. However, this Canadian fundraising group found that pro sports charities overspend and really lack transparency. So there was a report that came out this week that says 8 sports charities connected to the NHL, NBA, and MLB were evaluated. And in 2017, Canadians gave $50 million to these 8 charities foundations. And they raised around, so it was raised around $4 million, $7 million for the Canucks for Kids. And the report found that charities, with the exception of the MLSC Foundation, had little to no transparency. So what that means is that when you put your money in these charities, you're basically hoping and wishing that it gets to the place that you want it to go. There's not an actual understanding about where it goes. And so if this is any indication of some of the things that we have seen before, particularly with charities, is that a lot of the money goes to administrative fees and salaries, and a little bit of money goes to the people. So the MLSC Foundation has 75 cents, which going towards the cause, which is 75 cents to the dollar, which is actually pretty good when you look at like Susan B. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation, or you look at any of those other foundations that are pretty large, particularly in breast cancer. You see that, or Salvation Army or Goodwill. Those places, not as much money goes to the people who you're going to help as you think. And I think as we look to continue to make a positive impact in the community, and people want to be charitable, and they want to make sure that they are giving the money not only to the causes that they believe in, but also to get, if that also they want to get that money to the people who like are supported by the causes that they support. It's important that we maintain organizations like this so that they can keep watching and keep on making sure that they're doing the right thing, because far too often we see is that greed seems to take over, and people are just grimy. But, you know, it's important to just have checks and balances on these things. When we get back, we're going to continue to talk about Vancouver news. Until then, this isn't a Mother's Day song, but this is my Mother's Day song.
University, I pull it up in Mercury. Mama, how we filled up with bags of Hercules. Soon as I finish pissing, I put the seat down. Oh, my mama beat on, cut my damn ass out. Only child, no siblings, no besties. I couldn't do nothing right like a lefty. Bought my mama first house with the jewel money. Bought my mama second house with the club money. Me and mama used to chop out the same house. Used to eat and go to sleep on the same couch. Me and mama got busted at the same time. When the court and told you the damn same lies, I can tell mama proud of her only son. Two chains, I have always worn more than one. Yeah, I'm real, I'm ill, you know you gotta feel. You popping pill, I'm rarer than $2 bills. Yeah, I'm just tryna make my mama proud. Yeah, I ain't tryna let my mama down. Yeah, I'm just tryna make my mama proud. Yeah, I ain't tryna let my mama down. Yeah, mama ain't raised no hoe. One more time, yeah, my mama ain't raised no hoe.
My mama ain't raised no hoe, no hoe. Cause my mama ain't no hoe, no hoe. My mama ain't raised no hoe, no hoe. Drop a P and then 10, we at your door, nigga. Whole bitches getting fucked on the floor. They cold hearted, so you gotta do them cold. These hoes and my mama can't get it wrong. Cause my mama ain't no hoe. I was running up a check, put the homies on the desk. I was fucking up the porch, I ain't never do the vet. That's why she's from the game, they do you for the check. And you know I'm gang, gang, cause that's the only thing I rip. Hey, mama, when I leave the house, it's for them dollars. You was the reason I brought that chopper. Cause I know you wanna see me come on proper. Soon as I get right, I said I got you, then I got you.
Yeah, I'm just tryna make my mama proud. I ain't tryna let my mama down. Yeah, I'm just tryna make my mama proud. Yeah, I ain't tryna let my mama down. Yeah, mama ain't raised no hoe. One more time. Yeah, my mama ain't raised no hoe. Yeah.
road. Yeah, fought up in my loft in case the bank closed. Yeah, mama ain't have it all, we wore the same clothes. I kick the door, I kick the door, I risk it off a door. I found that 44, it turned me to an animal. Got that wild low niggas when he compatible. Chop the fine, it sounding just like a rattler. 223 caliber, you ain't in my caliber. Mama told me pray, cause God keep giving me these bugs. Get on that G6, I'm flying higher, landing on the rug. Mama, I put Goyard on my mama. Every nigga not your partner, son, when you come up. All them bitches in your face, son, they all piranhas. Stay up out the way, but beat them if you run up. Mike Jack and his prime with Madonna. I'm just trying to bring her to my mama.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make my mama proud. I ain't trying to let my mama down. I'm just trying to make my mama proud. I ain't trying to let my mama down. Mama ain't raised no hoe. One more time. Yeah, my mama ain't raised no hoe.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver radio station. I'm your host, East Aaron. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBCCITR. If you like this show and you like hearing me speak, you can listen to past episodes on CITR.com/Off the Beaten Path or Mixcloud.com/Off the Beaten Path. And if you're feeling froggy, you should listen to Crimes and Treasons, which plays the hottest hip-hop and R&B in Canada on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 here on CITR.ca. You can also find those shows on Mixcloud.com/Crimes and Treasons, or just go to crimesandtreasons.com. That's me, Horsepower, Homeboy Jules, Relly Rose, Jamal Steeles, and Malik. And if you can't get enough of the Crimes and Treasons crew, you should check out First We Feast on Complex.com. They make this show Hot Ones. And they have another show. But really, the only show on it that matters is The Curry Shop, hosted by Crimes and Treason's own Horsepower. And this last episode, last week's episode, she met up with Sean Paul to talk about Jamaican Curry. And this week, she links up with Rena Sawamaya, who is a Japanese-British pop star, and to talk about Japanese curry. So check those out. Back in Vancouver news, a headless bear was dumped on a recreational trail and it infuriated dog walkers. And me, myself, I don't walk dogs. I don't even believe in walking dogs. I don't believe that walking dogs should be a thing. I think dogs do a fine job walking themselves. However, this is a blow for the bears. I'm not going to lie. I feel like if I was a bear, my morale would be kind of low. As not only did someone leave a headless bear on the trail, that means that there's a bear's head somewhere, somebody's garage or kitchen sink. And it's sad because, you know, if you listen to the show week after week, or maybe you listen to it once a month, or maybe this is your first time, I love the animals. Like, people in my life think that I don't love the animals. They think that I don't have a love and respect for animals, particularly dogs. But I do. Like, I even think of bears as big dogs. But I just want the animals to continue to fight back. And this bear seems to have lost. You know, which isn't like a total blow for bears. But, like, if you're looking at, like, globally, bears are losing, particularly polar bears. This one was a black bear. So a Vancouver Island man stumbled upon a headless bear carcass while walking his dog and angry at hunters who took the easy way out and dumped the remains on the road under power lines. So when he found it, it was bloated and gruesome, which I'm sure a decapitated bear looks like. And a conservation officer noted that the gallbladder was not taken out, but the skull was harvested. He says the bear skull is often used to often used to measure, A-Bear for trophy records. So basically, there's people out there who just killed a bear and then dropped it. I don't know if you eat bear, but I feel like there's other things that you can do with it. The bear was an average-sized male, had been shot somewhere else, and dumped. The animal's legs and tail were cut off. The scale had been harvested, probably as a trophy, and investigators took samples of the animal's DNA, so if the paws or other body parts are found, they can match those on the carcass. So, bear season opened in September and runs until December 10th before they, I guess, go into hibernation. And so while it may have been legal to shoot the bear, the meat should have been removed and carried out with the hunter. I don't know why they want the wild. I don't know why. If you want to see a picture of this headless bear, you can look at it on CBC. However, I feel like this isn't good for me though, because what I say is that if, you know, like, I like to hike, particularly I like to hike by myself, and so when I'm out in the woods, usually after I've smoked some legal weed, I begin to think about all of the bad things that can happen to me. You know, me getting lost, me falling off the cliff, me coming across a bear, and my bear scare tactics aren't working. And so when that happens, like, what's the next step? I don't know. However, it would be nice if there weren't hunters who angered, you know, the bear familial lineage and potentially take these things out on me. So because what I think is that, like, listen, we're in a war. We're not in a, like, a political war, you know, right to left. We're in a war with nature, like human beings. And we are currently winning and losing at the same time because, I mean, these animals will be here after we're gone, as long as we don't kill them all. But not only will they be here after we're gone, they will be resilient and they'll survive. And you see it all the time. You see it every day, them adapting. However, this bear, slow to adapt. So one win for the humans. And as we think about one win for the humans, there's also been one win for the robots. So there is a AI-generated self-portrait which sold for over $400,000. So a French engineer and artists made history as they created a AI, basically a robot, which sold a painting for $432,000 at an auction. They really thought that the painting would sell for like 10,000 euros, and so they were really shocked by the idea that this painting sold for over $400,000, which lends to the idea, like, does this money go to the robot or does this money go to the human being? Like, I don't know. So, you know, as we think that we are in this war with animals and we think that we're winning, we've actually managed to kill 60% of the world's wildlife. So if you think that's a war, that's almost a total loss for the animals. And then we have robots, on the other hand, that are not only driving cars. If you've ever watched any Boston Dynamics video, which is almost, I don't want to say it's like a trailer for the future, but it seems more like a, those things always seem like really bad jokes, like whose idea was to put a, like a walking upright robot who can tango. Back to the point, but we seemingly are beating the animals. However, we're building a stronger opponent with these robots. So if the robot can paint, then I can only imagine like what's next with robots. Like, it'll be interesting to see as the battle continues. I hope to be long gone by the time the first killer robot appears, but at the exponential rate of technology, I fear that may not be the case. But good luck to my kids. they're going to need it. But like I was saying, over 60% of the world's wildlife has been wiped out since 1970. And so when we think about climate change, and when we listen to politicians say that climate change is now real, or we see that, you know, Alberta doesn't give a shit about our coastal lines here in BC and wants to continue to push the Trans Mountain Pipeline, even though they know that the spills, the chance of a spill is not zero, and that would negatively affect not only the wildlife here, not only the disrupt the ecotourism, but it could just change whole evolutionary patterns here in British Columbia. And they don't care because, like I said, since 1970, 60% of the world's wildlife has been wiped out. And so when you think about wiped out, that doesn't mean just 60% of the animals are dead or dying, but there are so many animals that just don't even exist anymore. And that's crazy. I mean, think about losing 2/3 of the animals just in the past 50 years. So when you I was thinking about this as I'm playing Red Dead Redemption. And if you don't have the game, you should probably get it. Rockstar should probably give it to me for free for saying that. But when you think about the you look at the game, or you just think about the wild, what they call the Wild West, or, you know, the land before, particularly here in North America, before the colonizers came. You imagine a world where there's just an incredible amount of wildlife and almost everything could kill you. I mean, like, it's just, you know, there's deers and there's bison and there's eagles and there's hawks and all of these things, and we have managed to eliminate pretty much all of them from our daily sight. Like, I was on a golf course like 2 weeks ago, not golfing. I don't believe in that, but I was just chilling and I saw a fox there, and you're just like, what? Is that a fox or a coyote? Like, you don't even have any idea because we're so removed from nature. Except for when you're hiking up in North Van and the bear attacks. But we should really start to think about that, because also when you think about wildlife, it doesn't just mean like animals, like land animals. It's fish and whales and sea mammals and things like that too. So, you know, we have, I don't know if you've ever seen one of those fishing boats that just pulls fish out of the water, but it is absolutely crazy to think that there's any fish in the sea at all anymore, because those things are really scary. When we get back, we're going to discuss a little bit of what we can expect in the upcoming elections, and we have a special guest who is doing some groundwork. He's going to tell us all about it.
Wanna see you shining. Come back with me, room 213. 'Cause I just wanna watch you dance on me, right on top of me. Tell me what you like, I'll do it properly. We can spend the night just rolling up some trees. Only possibly. Oh yeah, all for you. What you wanna do? Meet me in the darkness where the flowers bloom. Feel like we departed, going somewhere new, somewhere maybe two. It's just me and you. Now that we're alone,
we can just take it slow. You know exactly what I want. I'll let you take control. And I'm already calling. You are a case I will be solving. Oh yeah. I feel like I'm falling, drifting away, baby, I'm all in, I'm all in. Put on your coat, can't watch it go. I never met a girl so blinding. You're gonna be the death of me. But I just wanna watch you endlessly. Feel the gravity. Free fall with no harness. Landing on my feet. You hit me the hardest. It's so hard to breathe. Don't want you to leave. Now that we're alone, we can just take. It's love. You know exactly what I want. I'll let you take control. And I'm already calling. You are a case I will be solving. Oh yeah, I feel like I am falling. Drifting away, baby, I'm all in, I'm all in.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And if you are listening, welcome back. If you are just tuning in, hey, listen. You can jump in late. This isn't like a marathon where you got to start at the beginning. Listen, we're all going to the same place. You know, and that place is being well informed. So this next week. So, you know, on the show, we like to focus a little bit on politics. We like to focus on like some news. And we like to focus on just like cool stories. So this is the segment where we focus on politics. And particularly politics from the States, but we have to understand that the States and Canada are like inextricably linked, and the politics are very reflective about the politics is really reflective here, just in like a I don't know how you say it, like a less drastic or a less aggressive way. But journalist Sonny Dillon, he quit the Globe and Mail last week, and it was something in it. And as I was reading the article, I was curious because, I mean, I had read his work before, but also the title of his article was Journalism While Brown, and so understanding the pitfalls of someone who. You know, is brown while trying to navigate a particularly interesting and, you know, complex world. So he basically talks about how there's this balance of talking about race, particularly in the stories, but then, you know, where he should talk about it, which stories he should push. You know, and which stories need to be ignored. And so he said he came to a boiling point last week where the story was pitched about how Vancouver's council is 10 people, all 10 of them are white, and particularly when you live and or look around in a city like Vancouver, where it's nearly 50% East Asian and a large South Asian minority and, you know, a large white population, to have 10 white council members seems difficult in a representative, you know, democratic society. And so as he was writing about this, because he was assigned to it, I guess the editors talked about how they should downplay the idea that they're downplay race in that, or race and ethnicity in the election, and really focus on the fact that eight of the ten council members are women. And so, while that's important, you know, that women are represented in our democracy, like that is exactly the goal that we should be looking for. But we should also be looking to make sure that they're representative of the ethnicities and the races here, because what we have seen, particularly in the United States, is that being a woman doesn't stop you from being racist or bigoted, or even being transgender doesn't stop you from being racist or bigoted. Like everybody is complex, and so has lots of different perspectives, particularly, and it's important that we make sure that these perspectives are met. So if you'd like to read more of the story of Sonny Dunn, you can find it on CBC as he talks about it on the radio. But it's just interesting to note that we are looking at an electorate that is, you know, very homogeneous in a city that is absolutely not. And so things need to be understood why that is, and why, and just why those things take place, because it shouldn't be like that. However, when we get to the United States, there are whole other issues. So if you so while Canada's election was last week, for the United States, 435 congressional seats are up for a race on Tuesday, and from those 435, and then only 34 of the Senate seats are up for for turnover. And so it makes it very, very volatile time politically in the United States, as we look to see, you know, just what it actually is going to happen. And so we've seen instances, particularly in this election cycle, where the politics has not only been shoddy, but has also been just terrible. In Georgia, the congressional seat is, or some of the congressional seats are really, really, I don't want to say in peril of being like a fair race, but over like nearly 500,000 people were purged from the polls, and it really doesn't make you feel good about democracy when people are cheating, not only to just like using negative ads or lies, but also actually rigging vote machines so that it doesn't correctly tally. And it really makes you hard to be confident in what actually is going down. So while we try to get our guest online, we are going to take a short musical break and listen to one of our sponsors.
You want me to voice it?
I can voice it. Yeah, yeah. Please voice
this
one.
That's the wrong mic.
I forgot.
You f- dip. I can't believe I put up with this. And I asked for a grape soda, you asshole. Okay.
Due to a labor dispute, CITR is missing its star voice actors. That means if you're interested in producing PSAs, advertisements, and various other promotional wonders for airplay on the radio, we need you. Learn how to get involved with CITR's production department and all other facets of volunteering at CITR and Discorder Magazine at CITR.ca. Programming, photography, media training, and more. Plus, a guest star in the lounge. No, wait, we can't promise that.
Can't believe I put up.
Searching for mindset. Me to forget.
So, you know what? Couldn't get him. And moving on. So, in politics, like, it's not always so black and white. A Missouri representative who is trying to find his seat on the House is facing some steep competition, but from not who you would think it is. Steve West, he's a Republican candidate for a seat in the House, and his kids have taken out not just advertisements, but they've reached out to newspapers, and they've reached out to other media outlets and to talk about how their dad has been homophobic and racist for years. Not only do his kids say it, but Steve has also said it himself. He talks about how college athletics is a breeding ground for lesbianism, and really just how homosexuals are actually inextricably linked to pedophilia and all of these things, and he's still maintains to be a candidate for state of Missouri. So that tells you two things. One, politicians can really say whatever the hell they want in 2018, and it really doesn't have any consequences. And two, Missouri is this place that you want to avoid forever. Like, I didn't really know this about Missouri, but when Ferguson happened in 2014, after Mike Brown was murdered, you started to realize that this Missouri place kind of sucks, and not only does it suck, pretty much seems like it sucks for almost everybody, but definitely for LGBTQ and black people and brown people in Missouri. So it's like a place you like to avoid, particularly if Steve West wins. Particularly when his daughter says, I can't imagine him being in any level of government. And he is vying for a Republican House seat. And so what we have seen is that a lot of shady things coming from the Republicans, not just coming from Republicans, but like coming from people who support them. I mean, we just last Saturday at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 11 people were murdered by a gunman who not only said, not only he like declared his hate for Jewish people, but also that his support for Donald Trump and the idea that Donald Trump keeps pushing the fact that George Soros is funding protesters and is funding the Democratic Party and is funding all of these things. It not only stems from this heightened political climate where seemingly the right and the left cannot get together on anything because the right seems so far to the extreme, but also on this millennia age of hating Jews, hating Jewish people. And so, and that leads into the propaganda behind George Soros and some of the other particularly wealthy Democratic backers. We can see that this is not just about politics, particularly when you see things like I believe it was in Missouri where a man walked into a Kroger last week, and for first he tried to get into a church and the church doors were locked, and then he tried to get in and then he walked into a Kroger and murdered two black people. And when he walked by a guy who had heard gunshots and ran towards them, a white guy, he looked at him and said, "Whites don't kill whites." And then he walked past him. So you see that it's not just politics, as people are actually dying. I mean, last week we talked about this on the radio. People were, leaders of the Democratic Party were sent bombs. Like, this is not just about rhetoric and talking anymore. There's people's lives on the line. And not only just lives on the line, but people's lives have been lost by the divisive rhetoric that Donald Trump stirs up. And it's interesting because when I was, when I lived in Cleveland up until 2015, Cleveland is in Ohio. And if you don't know Ohio, Ohio is one of those battleground states. So every election, it's really kind of different, but you really hear a lot of differences of opinion and a lot of people who are particularly on the fence and moderately viewed talk about Obama as being the divider in chief and the reason why our society is as far apart as it is. And then when you actually like live and understand, you understand that that is just not right. You see things like Donald Trump wanting to end the 14th Amendment, which is partly an amendment which declares birthright citizenship legal. So that means if your parents aren't a citizen but you are born in the United States, then you are a citizen of the United States. And so this is something that has been in, I don't know, hundreds of years. In 1866, I think that was created, before they actually believed everybody was, everybody who born here was a human being. And Donald Trump is looking to roll that back as he uses this caravan of individuals seeking asylum as they travel through South America, presumably, assumingly to the United States, even though they are, you know, about a month away walking wise from the United States. Nobody actually knows where most of these people are going to end up. And we're seeing that used as a rallying point, not only as a rallying point politically, but militarily, sending 14,000 troops to the border where they don't have any power to do anything. They don't have any power to detain. They don't have power to question. They do have power to kill people, but that's obviously not what, you know, I don't just want to say that what they intend, because I actually don't know what the people who control the military intend for them to do. However, That would seem silly. However, it still is being used, and they are being mobilized weeks and weeks ahead of the time where we think that even if this caravan entered the United States, that would be necessary. Yeah, it's just kind of wild that we are still here, particularly days away from another election cycle, and we have gotten worse. I am not looking forward to 2020 when my visa is up, and also it's time to vote in a new president, because who knows what the politics will be by then, and who knows Canada's look towards the United States and people emigrating from there. So if you are down to sponsor someone, I don't know if that how that works, but you look no further. I am your guy. So if you want to keep listening to this, keep listening to me. We talked about this last week. Blackface on Halloween. Absolute nah. So a South Carolina bank executive and a business leader went to a Halloween party dressed as Kanye West with a MAGA hat on. And I don't understand. I don't understand why people continue to do this. So it's November 1st. Like, if you look at the picture, what's this guy's name? Brian Leonard. Google Brian Leonard. Looks like an idiot. So he drew a goatee on. He wore those shutter shades. I can't believe that Kanye West had people wearing shutter shades. And then he wears a MAGA hat, a camouflage jacket, and a chain, and standing next to his wife, I'm guessing, or his, I don't know, his girlfriend or something like that. And he paints his face black. Now, you can do the costume without painting your face black. I don't understand why people refuse to want to abide by those types of things. However, this guy did. And his Facebook friends who commented bootylicious, please come to Vancouver and find the Lionsgate Bridge. Jump off of it, because people stop, like, you can already tell that his fam and his friends are corny and not worthy of discussing on Halloween. However, his name needs to go out there, so hopefully he can maybe think about it. So a federal employee's porn has infected the government with malware. So there's, I didn't know people watch porn at work, but if you are watching porn at work, maybe you try to use private browsing, because the Department of the Interior has revealed that over 9,000 porn sites are visited by federal employees, and it has infected some computers with malware. So where they thought maybe safe sex would be to engage in cyber sex, you are wrong. And one of the things we talk about here is on sports and the incredible vulnerabilities that players are in, their athletes are at. So just yesterday, DJ Durkin, the Maryland head coach, was fired. We talked about him a few months ago, where he neglected a kid's, his players' cry for help, his seizures, and then he allowed him to die, and then he was reinstated, where Maryland concluded that it wasn't an toxic environment. When a player dies, like, not play college football. If somebody died in the field, fuck that. Everybody, all the coaches have got to go, because that's not, should not, would not ever be allowed. But and also at a prep school, a National Christian Academy in Florida, we see another coach. He says, I don't want to hear from you. The bottom line, Get the F out. Walk the F out. I don't give a shit. I control transcripts. I control where you go next. It could be back to Haiti, mother effer. That's how easy it is for me. So you see that these coaches are talking to players in any ways as they want because they feel that they can. They're in this position of power where really nothing else seemingly matters. And I think that it's time that people stop taking sports so damn serious. Like, the idea that this person could call himself a father figure to players, and but yet say, but that threatened people to go back to Haiti. After the incident came out, he obviously left, but still. You see that people are just left vulnerable. That's the show, though. So thank you for taking the time out to listen to Off the Beaten Path. We do this, every week. Every week, every Thursday from 7 to 8. And if you are, if you'd like to call in next show, the number is 604-822-CITR. I'm out.